Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hey lovely ones, what a tasty episode this is. Damn, the food was fit. I went for lunch with comedian, star of Celebrity Gogglebox, and frankly just lovely man actually, Baba Tunde Eleshe. First things first, thanks for listening to Hoovering. Can you tell everyone else about it? Okay, thanks. You can do that actually. If you haven't got anyone to shout at directly, just by giving it a 5-star review and subscribing to it helps other people find it apparently. You can help the podcast financially if you've got spare pennies in your life. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and you will see brilliant podcast related gubbins. I'll prepare to swap you in exchange for pennies from as little as a few quid a month, stuff like guest recipes and loads of exclusive content and bits and bobs like that. I'd love to have you come and see me do some stand-up every Monday bar the 18th in October and November. I am doing new stuff in Camden at the Camden Comedy Club, 100 Camden High Street. It's only £6 and I'm joined by some of my most brilliant friends, people like Desiree Birch, Jen Brister, Sarah Barron, Sarah Pascoe, oh god, all of them, they're so good, all the bloody funniest ones actually. Links to everything interesting that Bubba and I mention in the podcast are, as ever, in the podcast notes, so wherever you get your podcast from, if you look at those notes you should see that I've put all sorts of things in capitals, and that means that they're a link to whatever the bit in the notes is on about. Also, I want to sound you out about something, give you a little heads up of warning please. Now, I am currently busy in a way that I have never really known before. I've always been, don't get me wrong, I've always been a woman on the edge. But yes, it's sort of next level at the moment, and the sort of stakes are high on everything that I'm meant to be doing all at the same time. And as we are nearing Hoovering's 200th episode towards the end of this year, when in fact almost exactly at the end of this year, or just a week before it's sort of officially the Christmas patch, I am going to stop releasing Hooverings every single week and do them fortnightly, release a new episode every fortnight, because by that point I will have released an episode once a week without fail solidly for nearly 4 years, and if I keep trying to do that, it is going to break me and the podcast. I'd hope it doesn't make you sad or annoyed. And I hope that you keep listening and supporting the podcast. It's an act of love and of preservation, both of myself and my sanity, and also the quality of the podcast. I don't want to be rushing. I don't want it to ever feel like a chore. I want to know about my guests before I meet them. I want to have read their books. I want to have researched them. I want to be able to still give my whole self to each and every episode and make them all the best that they can possibly be. I hope you understand. I'll give plenty of reminders that that's happening as the time looms nearer. In the meantime, we will keep speaking to you with a fresh guest every single Friday. Right, let's get into this week's joyful feast up. Bubba and me met in Shoreditch and went for the fanciest Thai food at the rightly very highly acclaimed Smoking Goat restaurant. Oof, it was swanky enough that I carnivored the absolute shit out of it. I had meat. Sorry, morals. But, I mean, it felt like a need. Oh, a want, let's be honest, a want, but a very deep and powerful want that had to be met that day. Looking at that beautiful menu, no regrets here though, babe. We've come to somewhere quite posh and sure, and it's called Smoking Goat. Neither of us really understand the menu, but it smells nice in here.
Yeah, it does.
Promising.
It really does.
And we've both ordered a homemade lemonade, which is really thrilling. We've moved on to the high stalls, like grown-ups, because mm-hmm. neither of us have got a child yet. Would your child, who's the same age as my child, eat stuff like Thai food?
No.
No. That's quite a quick answer.
If it ain't fish fingers, if it ain't spaghetti, he's not
here. Serious?
Yeah. He's so into his spaghetti and yeah. so into fish fingers and chips. That's all he wants every day. Either yeah. one.
Oh, thank
you. Oh, that is so nice.
Can we ask a little questions about the menu before we order,
please?
Thank you. Cheers, babe.
That looks so dope. Yeah, man. Cheers. Mm. Oh, that is so nice. Oh my God, that's so nice.
That's going to wake us up, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like almost a little bit annoyed I haven't got a hangover, because that would be cutting right through it. Wouldn't it? To put sort of a little bit wasted on a perfectly well woman.
Yeah, right. How about your child, though?
In some ways he's awesome. Like, he'll have a try of everything, but he's also fucking rude and vocal if he doesn't like the look of what you're having. He's so opinionated. I've never, like, he's not snobbery. He's
just, well, your boy's five, right?
Yeah, nearly six.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good, I'm all right, thank you. It appears to me you are
not. How come everyone's on dungarees today?
The Black Dungaree Club. You should have worn your black dungarees. Actually, Mike, we're just talking about kids, and my five-year-old son has just asked for some black dungarees for his birthday.
He knows.
So let me out of the room.
We've got so many questions, please.
Yes, of course.
What is a kolyor?
Kolyor is mutton.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And these are like startersy bits here.
Well, it's all sharing plates.
Oh, great.
It all comes as and when. For two people, we typically recommend one thing from each section.
Great.
So you've got snacks, larbs, salads, grill, and rice.
What's a larb mean?
Larb, the literal translation is chopped meat salad.
Lovely.
They're spicy, they've got chili through them, herbs, and they're like basically used to flavour rice. So it's really good to have them with a sticky, because they are quite spicy, so you can like temper the heat of them as well.
Oh, nice. So if the two of us, we get one thing from each of the four sections.
That is just from, including rice, but that's just a rough guide depending on how hungry you are or what catches your eye.
Everything catches my eye, but I need to just try and... And pollock, this is a fish.
Yeah.
And then that's yum, 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 yum. And then, I know that is, that's just the name of the farm, Flourish.
Yes.
Yeah, don't ask what that
is. Yeah.
What the Yemeni's chicken, makwen?
That is pepper. Yeah, so that's like a palate cleanser of a dish. Mm. It's a cold salad, the chicken's poached, but because everything else is quite spicy, it can help like offset that and create some balance within your...
Okay.
Yeah.
Muscles I want in my life. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I wish you'd said that the advice was to get all of it.
Get one of everything.
I've got the rest of the day. I can't just like roll into my writing job later. Okay. Have you any questions else about the...
No, I'm good. Let's decide.
Great. Well, yeah.
Should I leave you to it?
Rest a minute.
Yeah, of course. No problem.
Right. Where's your head at and where's your tummy at?
Listen, I like spice.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Let's go spicy. Should we try those chili fish sauce wings?
That speaks to me a bit wings. More than if you're getting one of those top two things, that speaks to me a bit more than the herbal sausage.
Absolutely. Really.
And then what from that next section?
I'll let you pick.
Really?
Yeah.
You're just being a gentleman, or are you overwhelmed by the choice?
I'm overwhelmed.
Yes. Yeah. Do you like fish? Is there anything you don't like?
I like fish.
Should we try that pollock? I think that sounds like exciting.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. And then, what is happening down here now? I don't know what to do there. Should we get that chicken thing she said? That salad chicken? No. It's done a face. I can't tell if that's a tree. No. She did say it's a cold salad. I don't know about cold chicken salad.
What the hell is aged beef fat nam de tok?
Yeah. We should have asked.
I need more greens. So let's go.
More greens. Stir fried Cornish greens and soy.
Yeah, let's do that.
Just doing that.
I gotta pick this one.
Yeah.
That pork belly is beacon chicken.
Yes! It does sound so good, doesn't it?
And then I'll let you pick the rest.
Okay. I think we get sticky rice, and I'm gonna get a mussels as well, because I wanna try that. Excited. How much do you care about eating generally? Someone who cares about eating? Or is someone who needs just something to get done?
No, I care about eating, man.
Good.
I love my food.
Yeah,
I love my food. I like different flavors. I like different cultures, and I love spice.
Yeah.
Flavors is important to me.
It's true. It is. It makes me. This is gonna sound so patronizing. There's, on the one hand, I think sometimes when I meet people who are like, no, food is fuel, I don't really think about it very much. I have, in a sense that I think, well, I'm envious in the sense that there's so much room for all the other stuff in your life, because I think a lot about eating.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a whole fucking podcast about it. But also, I think these days, I think a lot about eating in a joyful way. So maybe I don't envy them that, but I guess it frees up headspace. But when you meet people who think of food as fuel and or just like a five-year-old, just like mainly yellow food, I feel sorry for them in a patronising way. Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like, well, probably 70% of what brings me joy on a daily level, you don't get.
Yeah.
All those flavours, all that like excitement, the anticipation of it, the look of it, the smell of it.
Yeah.
You're not having any of that. You're just having an omelette every fucking day.
That's the truth. Like, yeah. I don't have any friends that just treat it like fuel.
Fair play.
So
good.
I'm happy about that. Like, all of my friends are foodies.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, man. Especially me and my wife. Like, oh my God. But the only thing is, my wife, she hasn't had an Indian yet, which bugs me.
She's a grown up. You haven't got a child bride.
No.
Okay.
I ain't no cradle snatcher. It bugs me, like, she hasn't had Indian. And what bugs me the most is that she's Jamaican, so a lot of the food that they have comes from that culture.
Yeah.
But for her, it's a thing of, if she hasn't tried it, you know, growing up, trying to try it now is a bit of a, ooh, I don't know, you know, kind of thing. So, yeah, she still needs to get over that hurdle. But I'm just like, I'm missing out, because on a Friday, Saturday night when I'm in, and it's just like, all right, what are we going to have to take away? I can't pick
Indian. It's not on the list. It's never on the list.
It has to be either Turkish.
Does it mean
Chinese,
whenever you're going out without her, you're like, I'll see you down Brick Lane every time? Oh, I'm sorry. It's always a way, though, I think, in every relationship. Well, I mean, there, it's different if you've got like a... But then it sounds like everything else is on the list.
Everything
that's literally the only thing not on the list.
Yeah, that's the only
How funny.
Yeah.
She likes Thai food?
Yeah. She likes Thai, Chinese.
It's just the
Turkish,
one left
everything.
To try.
Yeah.
What's annoying about that is then that she's definitely going to love it.
Yeah.
Like, she's just definitely going to love it. If she loves all those things
and
around
that's
it.
That's what I keep telling her. I'm just like, the flavours are out of this world.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of when it comes to food, when it comes to flavours, nothing touches Indian food.
Right.
For me personally.
Yeah.
And it's just like, just hurry up, taste it, so you can, I can prove you wrong.
Certainly. You made a really funny video about like quarantine cooking with your Jamaican wife online.
Yeah.
And like, but educate me in terms of how those cultures collide culinarily.
Well, to be honest, Nigerian and Jamaican food is kind of similar in the sense it's very hearty.
Hearty
food. But when it comes to me and my wife, it's when we try and like collide the two, she doesn't really go all the way with the Nigerian food.
Okay.
She only touches like the rice dishes.
Right.
Your jollof rice, your fried rice. And that's about it. And then she'll mix, like, let's say we'll have like jollof rice and oxtail.
Yeah.
Or jollof rice and stew chicken kind of thing. Like marry the two. And that's about it. She doesn't go too far.
Fine.
My wife is a very picky eater.
Right.
Very, very picky.
Picky, and you're not a picky eater.
Hell no.
Every relationship I've ever been in, and I think it feels quite universal, is that like there's always one thing not on the list for takeaways that you have to have as your like thing to have when you're not with them. Like I was with someone for 9 years who didn't like spicy food. Tough. Wouldn't eat peppers. Oh. He's crying emoji.
That must have just started.
It was nine long years. No, nine. I just was out a lot. I was just out so much.
So boring.
It's so boring.
I bet the first thing you did as soon as you were out of that relationship, buy the spiciest.
Yeah. Put it on my Tinder profile. Only interested in someone into hot food, please.
Nah. But listen, you gotta pick the right person.
Man. Yeah.
Food is important, man. We love food so much, especially like me and my sister. Oh my, like, so me and my sister, when it comes to like food, we have everything. Indians on the list.
Yes.
And where we used to live in Highgate, or should I say where I used to live?
Yeah.
My sister still lives there, my mum's house. There was an Indian restaurant called Mr. Kipling's.
Right.
Which is literally right next door to like where our estate was.
Nice.
And we used to go there all the time, man. Their food was, because it's Highgate.
Up there.
Yeah, man. Oh, my Lord.
Mr. Kipling's.
Yeah,
like the cakes.
Like the cakes, but it was amazing. Indian. And it was so bougie because, like, you had, like, a piano there and there was this old fat guy that would come and, like, play the piano, like, every Friday, like, for everybody.
I love it.
So it was so bougie.
Oh, I love it. Are you still in the middle of your tour with Mo, or are you finished? You're right in the middle of it.
We're at the beginning, really.
Right at the start.
Yeah,
oh my crumbs, of course.
3 more months. Yeah.
So, I want to know. How does touring change how you eat? And do you think being a stand-up defines or changes how you eat at all?
Yeah. You eat like crap when you're on the road. You eat like utter crap. There's no time to really settle and so 4 days out of my week I'm eating either Nando's, McDonald's, KFC, and I'm tired of Nando's.
I'm
so sick and tired of Nando's.
Also, it's ridiculous. Just the sameness, isn't it? Like, because it's so weird. It starts off as comforting because, like, nothing's the same any two nights as a stand-up, especially on tour, apart from the material, maybe. But, like, it is like, it's like, oh, at least one thing is routine in your life. Yeah. And then quickly, I suppose it starts to feel like prison.
Yeah.
Talk to me about eating growing up. Did you have a household where you were being cooked for by a parent?
So growing up, eating as a child was just straight Nigerian food.
Straight?
And Nigerian food is very, very starchy. They use like yam in different ways.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can either cut it or mash it up and boil it. And it comes quite sticky, almost potato substance. We eat that with stew.
It is like starchy.
It's
almost a bit sweeter as well than potato. And like string it up. I need a proper lesson in handling that.
Like Nigerian food is carb heavy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No problem there. Yum.
I've had rice all my life.
Yeah.
When you talk about dinner to me is, something to do with rice.
Yeah.
So sometimes when I'd go to like some of my white friend's house and they'd be like, dinner time, and the mum's pulling out pizzas and chips, I'm like, this ain't dinner, this is lunch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys have this for dinner? And they're just like, yeah. And I'm like, okay.
Where's the rice? Get some rice on your pizza, you losers. I love it.
So yeah, but it was just Nigerian foods.
Nice. Okay.
So when I escaped my house, when I got married, I was literally. That's why I put on so much weight, because I was so skinny before. I was eating everything under the sun that I wasn't eating when I was living at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fair play.
Yeah, man. But Nigerian food is doesn't have that much flavour.
Right.
It's very spicy.
Okay.
It's spice heavy.
So like heat heavy rather than like complex, nuanced.
Nah.
Yeah.
None of that.
Like what's it when it's all like. You can smell all different, none of that, right?
So they smoke a lot of their meat. So if it's fish, they'll smoke it. Meat, they'll smoke it, and then they'll add like maybe fresh greens to it, like spinach and stuff.
Mm.
Put it in like a tomato stew, and then a whole bunch. Do you know Scotch bonnet?
Yes, big fan.
Yeah,
I am. What was mad though is
the way you said it.
I love it though. But they're so good. But before I really understood them, I absolutely fucking wrecked some meals cooking for people where they're like, wow, because it's so much power in such a tiny little thing. Yeah,
and I got so used to it as a child.
Yeah, of course.
If my mum put like, I remember once. She put five in.
Wow.
Honest to God, and we were fine.
You were fine. You were traumatized.
I couldn't do that.
Right.
I couldn't.
Well, it's so funny how your tolerance can just go with anything like that. Like, I was really hoping when I was pregnant with my kid, if I ate enough spicy food, that he would come out with my palate and not his dad's palate. And how is yet to tell? but yeah, it is. I love Scotch bonnet so much. There's still, I've changed car now, but back when I was saying before we started recording, I was running some food around for people about a year ago. And then because the bags of food that you were taking to people, there was always Scotch bonnets in the bottom of them.
Oh my God.
And the bags were often like burst. Like, then they give you a bag of food as well, but I just couldn't get through the quantity of Scotch bonnets that I was ended up with, and there's still some rolling about in the boot of that car. I think I sold the car on with a few Scotch bonnets rolling around in the back there.
Have you ever had Nigerian food?
No.
Okay.
No. Right. I had to have a quick check in my head. I didn't. So I really wanted to. There's a Nigerian restaurant, which I think is a chain in Lewisham, called Enish.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no.
No, go there. No. It's all right. I'm not sponsored by them.
Go 805 and Old Kent Road. All right.
Yeah, let's go. Oh, what? Oh, I got a much bigger one than you. yes.
Okay.
I don't know how to knife and fork it.
All right. So long as I can separate it. Good.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a bite out of this.
Let's get in there. Here we go. Uh-huh. This isn't first date food, is it?
No.
This is like hands in. Whoa. Okay.
Tastes lovely, but very pungent.
Mmm.
So this is what Nigerian food smells like.
Really?
Yeah. Some of our food smells
like. That's so good. Yeah, it's like the chickeniest smelling chicken.
I'm so middle class now, look at me.
Your knife and fork on your chicken wing.
So middle class.
Mm. That's good.
That's lovely.
It's so nice. It's so crunchy, that batter.
Yeah.
I really like it when fancy places.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. Fancy places basically like level up something that you'd get from a takeaway.
Yeah.
It worked.
That is nice.
Good. Me too. I love it. You're an actor as well as a stand-up, though.
Yeah.
You ever had to eat anything interesting until today as part of work?
No, and I thank God.
Yeah.
I thank God I haven't had to, because there's some nasty. Some people don't know how to cook.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah, some people don't know how to cook, man.
Yeah.
I think what bugs me most is people that can't cook. Can you cook?
I think I can cook, but I'm not a chef. Like.
Yeah, you don't have to be a chef, but.
I take experiments, and I've learned there's some things I can do really well. I'm up for giving anything a go. if I try something like 3-4 times and it's never come out how I want it, I stop trying and leave it to the experts.
Can you cook rice? Not in a rice cooker?
No, I can.
You can
I think
rice.
I can.
Okay.
You think so you're going to tell me I'm doing it wrong?
Go on.
I rinse it.
Mm-hmm.
Cold water, obviously.
Yeah. You started off right already.
And then I put it in, the rice in. Then I put cold water in to just above it. I put a little bit of salt. I put the lid on tight. 10-15 minutes. If you want, before you do that, you can use coconut milk, you can use water, cold water. If you want to put a pierced chili in the middle of that, you're allowed.
Or butter, yeah.
Or butter, but I put butter at the end.
Okay, all right.
Ooh. And I like it when the rice is like almost stuck to the pan at the bottom, but the top of the rice, you should be just rice, no water by the time it's cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And the top is cooked because it's steamed rather than from the heat from beneath.
No, you can
cook it. Okay, great. Yay. Well, I'm glad I got your rice approval.
I asked that because like a lot of my friends don't know how to cook rice.
Yeah.
Like in
pouring boiled water on it, yeah.
That was the first thing my mum taught me how to cook.
Is it? I was going to ask if you got taught any of this cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Are you the cook? So both of you cook in your house?
No, my wife cooks more.
Yeah.
Because she's a fantastic cook.
Yes, get in.
She is a fantastic cook, man. I'm so happy.
Get in.
Yeah, I'm so happy that I was able to land her.
Yes, get in.
Yeah, I'm real happy.
Has your son shown any interest in cooking?
No.
No.
He'll come into the kitchen if she's cooking and be like, oh, can I help? But then he'll leave. You know how children are.
Yeah.
Actually, when I'm on the barbecue,
he'll
always offer to help. But it's the barbecue, so I'm like, stay back. Mm. But I did promise to teach him how to barbecue when he gets older. So when it comes to cooking in our house, I'm mainly on the barbecue, on the grill.
Right.
And my wife is all like everything. But this food is dope, man.
I'm into this so far.
It's delicious.
Yum, yum.
It is delicious. I can tell you're a proper foodie.
Yeah.
I can really tell. Because you haven't, you're not speaking.
No, I can just cut these bits out, man. There's no point coming somewhere nice and not like enjoying it. Also, it's the perk of being the interviewer and not E. Normally, I learnt with the podcast to not turn up too hungry, but I just haven't worked that. Like today, my only chance to work out was this morning. So
yeah.
I'm afraid I've come to you and to here with like a proper hungry tummy.
I wanted to work out, but...
Did you?
Yeah, my garden's getting done.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so...
Have you got a gym at home? You got a gym in your garden?
No. My garden's getting done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm doing my garden and the guy's there.
Yeah.
And he talks a lot.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He's a good guy, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's great. But it's like I kind of got to just stay there just to make sure everything is going to plan. My wife is there now.
We got... Everything's just from Friday. We've moved house into somewhere we've got to do up. From Friday, we've got people in again, but we've got like a nice week where there's no one in and out. Thank God. Every time something's done, like we get a gas leak, or like now there's some water coming into the back. Yeah. Oh God.
That
was yummy. Would you say there's any food or drink that you hate that everyone else loves, or that you love that everyone else hates?
Food, I hate cheese.
Whoa.
I think cheese is created from the devil's foot jam. That's why I believe it originated in between the devil's toes.
I'm so glad that we chose somewhere like Asian so that there's no chance of any cheese happening to you.
Yeah. Wow. I hate cheese with a passion.
Right.
Drink?
All cheese though, literally like from cheddar through to like...
All right. I can have mozzarella.
Okay. That doesn't taste of nothing. It's just creamy strings.
And a little bit of halloumi. I can have halloumi too. You're good. I can have halloumi too. but not a lot.
Okay.
And brie is not terrible.
We're just listing all the cheese you love now.
But when my sister tries to offer me, she's like, oh no, you'll like this one.
Yeah.
I'm like, relax.
Okay.
Because I like to hold on to my hate, my hatred for cheese. So, yeah, we're not, you know.
You know you've tipped the wrong side of 30 when you're saying, I like to hold on to my hatred. We'll be reading the Daily Mail next. We're going to be whinging about them young people next.
I really am. I'm already
I do like to hold on to my hatred.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be the hashtag off the back of this podcast.
But I don't like cheese.
Doesn't like cheese.
Drinks. There's no drinks.
It's into everything.
In like, all right, so in Nigerian culture, we have this thing called washout. It's bitters.
Okay.
But it's really,
really disgusting. Bitter. You're doing such a good face. Is it?
It's
What am I imagining? Why is it called? Do you swallow it? It's not mouthwash.
No, you drink it. Yeah.
And is it like really herbal then? Like really, or just really bitter?
It's really bitter. It's like made of like, it's got bark in it.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
But bark that you're allowed, like, so they soak it for like, maybe like a month. And you drink it and that clears you out.
Right.
My mum used to force me and my sister to drink that
when we
were young. Because you know children, you eat a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
All of that is in your belly. So she used to make us drink that. And then it just allows you to, it's not like a laxative.
You go. Wow.
So I'm used to drinking that.
Yeah.
So there's not really any drink that I wouldn't taste.
I love the idea that washout also, not only does it wash you out, that serves the purpose of making literally any other drink taste delicious. Like, it sounds like you could drink that and then have like the driest gin and tonic even as a 6-year-old and be like, so sweet, so delicious. Thank you, mummy.
Yeah.
Like, she could give you just bare tonic water after that and you'd be like, ooh, yummy. Thank you for my treat.
Honest to God, it is horrible.
Wow, okay.
And that was the only drink me and my sister used to like, we'd be in tears.
Mm.
Like, we don't want to drink this, but if you gave it to me now, I'd hold my nose and just down it.
You do it, shot it.
Yeah. It's that disgusting.
Mind you, there are some shots where you're like, no one would be sipping at that. Like, it feels like a cultural thing that like either are or aren't, and in like Western culture just happens less, but it feels like in lots of Asian culture as well, there are drinks, medicinal drinks, essentially, that were never meant to taste nice.
No.
They're just something you do.
Yeah.
Like look at this. Thank you. Oh, wow.
Oh, dope.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
So what's this one?
Yeah, so that's sticky pork belly, and there's some sticky rice in there. I'm going to put her in the middle just to photograph it. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Oh,
hello.
Shall I?
Yeah.
Oh, that is lovely.
Oh, that's wicked. Proper cute.
Fancy business. Get involved.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love pork belly.
Me too. Yeah. I haven't had it for ages. I'm well into this. You go first, gentlemen first. Mmm.
I'll just do it like that.
Is it hard to get out of there?
Yeah.
Shit, it's really sticky. The sticky rice is really sticky. Oh. I love it that you've just tried the chili sauce on its own just to get a full wallop of that. Are you a happy man? Oh, I'm a happy woman that you're a happy man. Yeah, boy. You've made me, I thought I was already really excited to try it, and you made me even more excited to try it.
No, yeah, that is so nice.
Let's go. This is how to live. It's good to be alive, isn't it?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That's so nice.
Mmm.
That's so soft.
Oh, that's so good. Fuck yes. That dipping sauce is everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's fresh. So,
whoa. It can be a fool to be a little bit more spicy, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's quite, they played it a little bit safe. Maybe we just need to get a bit more of those seeds in our
life. This is a crackman?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't make it like this at mine.
Okay.
Because, you know, funny enough.
Yeah.
Black people don't eat pork scratching.
Right.
So crackling is not something that we're used to.
Yeah.
So this is interesting for me. A lot of black people that I know don't eat it.
Won't eat it or just don't.
No. It's not that we won't.
Yeah.
It's not part of our cuisine in any
type. I feel like it's something that's kind of vanished culturally for a bit. I feel like our generation, there's definitely people who'd be like, because we were not quite, but like, I'm in my mid-30s. I feel like as a generation of people, the first ones were, oh, wow. Wow, thank you. Mmm.
That's the pollock, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Wow. People brought up on like...
I bring my sister here. This place is
dope. Chicken Kiev, like a bit more like fish fingers, like when that stuff started to come in, people start to get a bit more squeamish, and things like pork scratchings gone out the window a bit. Like people are like, ugh, a bit squeamish about stuff. Whereas now, it's just at the beginning, I think, of generally like a revival. Chefs never stopped using that stuff. And I think people care, rightly in my opinion, about using up the whole animal. If you're gonna eat animals, eat all the animal.
Yeah.
Work with it. It's what definitely what our grandparents were doing, without a doubt. Like, this stock, you know, there's a million ways of using all the bits up, but also it's just really salty and delicious.
All right.
Mmm.
Have you ever had tripe?
No, that's where I draw the line. Do you like it?
I grew up on it.
Right.
So I'm used to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, funny that we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
So, while on tour...
That's got some kick.
That does.
Yes.
Whilst on tour with Mo,
we
were talking about food that we would and wouldn't eat.
Mm.
So, I was just like, you know, my generation, we grew up on tripe, cow foot, and what was the other one? Chicken foot.
Yeah.
And I was just like, would you guys eat it? And a couple of guys are like, really young, like late 20s. They were like, hell no, cow foot, that's disgusting. I was just like, that's what I grew up on.
Yeah.
Funny,
isn't it? But also a bit like, well, you're missing out because there's flavours in there. You're never going to know.
You're never going to know.
Scream on.
But tripe is where you draw the line, yeah?
Well, to be honest, I've never tried it. My story of why I'll struggle, I worry, I don't want to ruin our lush lunch, but I went on holiday with my parents. I was quite old. I just never tried it because it was never in... It was never something I was had to cook for me as a kid, you know, just wasn't around.
Mm-hmm.
And then and my mum didn't like it. My mum did have it as a kid and didn't like it. And we were on holiday in France, and we were away. It was my Nana's birthday, and we'd all gone out to this like French restaurant for lunch to celebrate my Nana's birthday. My mum ordered this salad that she didn't know had tripe in it, and I don't think she'd tasted it since she was a kid. And my mum is like not like me. She's quite like composed and graceful and demure. And watching her react like physiologically to a taste she wasn't expecting, that obviously like just triggered this like childhood memory of like probably been forced to eat it, you know, by a Nana as a kid, was like, oh no, I can't. Like, she was like, it's just a smell, and she couldn't get the smell out. She had, like, the food had to be taken like away, because even the smell then. And I think that, so you can't, like, if you've got a parent that hates something, it's so unlikely that you're ever going to get your head around liking it. But that's, I am open-minded, and I would try pretty much anything in the right context. So if I went somewhere and where it's going to be cooked in a, you know, brilliantly, then I'm into trying it again. It's about time.
Fair enough.
Mm.
Yeah.
You take me to that place on Old Kent Road, and I'll eat tripe, and I'll take you to a cheese festival.
Oh, no. Oh, hell no.
Hell no.
Yeah.
No, okay.
I was in Paris, and I wandered into this shop, and I was like, oh, who the hell farted?
Really?
I turn around, it's a roll of cheese, and I couldn't stop. I was just like, nah.
He thought he'd walked into a guff.
I thought someone murdered the place. I was like, oh. And it's just a stack of cheese.
Love it.
I hate cheese.
He's really not into it, I hear you.
Like, how can you eat something that stinks?
What would you say is the worst looking but best tasting thing you've ever eaten? Maybe tripe, hey?
No,
I've got a better example than that.
It's probably be cow foot.
Right, yeah.
When, so like Jamaicans and Nigerians, they eat it. And the way they do it.
Yeah.
They cook it in a stew.
Right.
Obviously with like scotch bonnet, spring onion and thyme, boil it down in a stew. Oh,
it's good.
It looks like trash.
Yeah, well, it just looks like a foot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's more of the jelly around the foot.
Right.
And so it's that, when you see it, you're like, I'm not eating that. But it tastes so good.
Yeah.
Or chicken foot, yeah. But yeah. I'd say the two, because when you open a pot of chicken feet,
yeah, or sticking out
it's not a pretty sight. But my lord,
yum,
so nice.
Yeah,
but that's something that if you're not daring, or if you haven't grown up with it, you're not gonna eat that.
I went to China traveling with a mate years ago, and we hadn't realized we'd ordered a chicken foot dish. And then, you know, it's a bit like this. Like, we had little plates of things to share, and this, like, pair of, I don't know if it was a chicken, so it's quite big feet. His pair of giant yellow feet sat there for ages. We're staring at each other, like, who's going in? Who's going to do it? And I did it, and actually, like, the meat's amazing. Like, it tastes is amazing, but I couldn't get my head around. It was like the rubber, it was like, they were boiled. I think maybe plain or whatever, and like the rubbery, like the skin. I was like, no, I didn't want that. Thank you. No thanks.
That's funny.
But you just got to try. You got to try the things.
You got to try.
Especially
new things.
If you've gone to the place where it's the thing that everyone eats. Oh, yum.
Bring some soy.
Cool.
I'm having a really great time. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do
you guys want some
more drinks when you go?
Another drink.
Yeah, can I have another lemonade?
Do you know what? I just saw you doing a special pea flower lemonade as well.
What lemonade, sorry?
So what's my pea flower? It's like a natural, it's basically a pawpaw lemonade.
Yes, Sam. A pawpaw lemonade.
Purple lemonade.
Yes. Yeah, two purple lemonades, please.
I haven't even tried it yet.
Okay, well, I'm going to like, I love purple things. Say scrum diddly umptious.
Hello.
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrum diddly umptious.
Have you ever had a patch where you ate the same thing every day? Yeah? You said you nodded like you've had lots of patches of doing that.
When my oh my god, that's so nice.
Is it?
Oh, oh my god, that is so nice.
I love it when it's like the greens that steal the show a bit.
Oh my god, going that is the nicest thing I've tasted.
Woo-hoo!
I love this.
Yay!
Right. Yeah, so when my wife was pregnant,
yeah,
we both had the cravings.
Mm.
Yeah, we synced up, and I was craving spinach, and both of us were we ate spinach every single day.
Yummy, yum, yum.
And then when my son was born,
mm-hmm.
when he started eating like solids and stuff, spinach.
Into it.
He was into it.
Into it.
Like that was the only thing he would eat.
Oh. Mmm. Mmm. That salad, man. Fuck off. That is amazing. That hot dressing.
That is so nice.
Oh, we're going to live forever.
This is the nicest thing
ever. So good. That's so good. Have you tried that? Mmm.
That's actually, I would say that's the most basic vegetables we have on the menu.
Unbelievably lovely. Soy maybe sauce, we're just a pair of basic bitches over here, man. Get in.
Oh, we've got the mussels.
We've got the mussels. We like spicy. We're having a really splendid time. Do you want the rest of that? I've had loads. I'm going to finish this then and give it back to the lady. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. Oh my happy days.
I'm obsessed with this.
Yeah. It's just Cornish greens. There's some kale in there. Is that a nut or something? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. So you ate the same thing every day. You had spinach every day.
Yeah, we had spinach every day. That's
and
the
then your baby loved spinach yeah. baby.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was interesting, syncing up with my wife. That was very weird.
I bet. Lovely though, a bit lovely.
Oh yeah.
Such a weird, lovely time, isn't it? I think.
It was so weird because I woke up and was just like, "I want spinach," and my wife was like, "Oh my god, me too!"
But it is like, I've only had one kid, but I've never known a time like it where your body is like telling you, like in the most fucking obvious way, what it wants. And it is like spinach, you like, you want iron. I've been like pretty much vegetarian for about a year before I got pregnant, and I wanted red meat, like really rare red meat. And it's your body going, I want iron, I want, lots of people crave chalky things. I know loads of women who like need, like wanted like potatoes, this would be like fried potatoes, like mashed potatoes, just a million, all the potatoes.
That's amazing though, how your body is able to
scream at you.
Yeah. That was I really enjoyed that phase of our life, me and my wife. That whole pregnancy bit, amazing.
A bit lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with eating, but do you need to do it again?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And then even the process of watching her give birth.
Mm-hmm.
I found that beautiful.
You told me that and it made me fall for you a little bit. It's a lovely thing. It's such a lovely thing to hear though. It's so boring to hear partners be like, oh, my favourite pub, watch my favourite pub burn down, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, fuck off. It's extraordinary. It's just a body being amazing, isn't it? Even if it's stressful, awful, you're a bit powerless, a lot powerless.
I thought it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Oh, I love it!
Honest to God.
Okay, I'm trying a mussel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a new type of heat in there. Yum. Something from something green is hot.
Do you eat mussels a lot?
Nah, I mean, if I lived by the sea somewhere where they had mussels coming in all the time, I'd eat them every day. Like, I love them.
Have you had oysters?
Yeah.
Oh, that was really nice.
Mm-hmm. But
I've never had it.
I think you would like it because you're into like big punchy bunch flavours. It's fucking intense. It's like it tastes of the sea. It tastes of just seriously salty. It's like a mouthful of the sea with the same texture as a mussel.
Okay.
But it's really nice. It's so salty that it's really nice with like a Tabasco, yum yum yum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then and something maybe like a sharp vinegar, okay. Like a few drops of a vinegar in there as well.
They squeeze lemon on that or something.
Yeah, something like that. So citrus, something citrusy and fresh, and then a tiny little drop of heat, and it's an amazing. It's like a like an edible shot basically.
Is it really an aphrodisiac?
No, bullshit. No, I mean, who knows? I'm not a scientist. I'm no biochemist. But I mean, yeah, no, I don't know that it is. Maybe, who knows? They say the biggest one of that is just chocolate, don't they? It's got something in it that like sets off a sensor that sets off bits of your brain that other food just can't. It's got that cocoa.
Maybe in women, not me.
Thank you.
That looks dope. Wow.
These are Instagram worthy. They're taste worthy.
Yeah. I'm excited to try it.
Are you still having the old ones?
This is really done, to be honest.
This is so good. Look at this. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That looks dope.
Happy days. Do you eat mussels a lot?
I used to.
Yeah.
I've not had them in years.
Yeah. It feels like holiday food, mussels, to me. Feels like something you'd have in France or something.
I love that so much.
Look, they're tiny little garlic things in there.
Oh.
Oh, yummy.
I should have brought mouthwash with me. Lord have mercy.
Yeah. Well, I've got chewing gum.
No, thank you. Lord have mercy.
Lucky. Neither of us are spending
flavours, bro.
At least you're not sitting in a theatre later. I've got, you go, mind you, you're just performing in one.
Okay. Okay. So it's the same thing.
Yum yum. It tastes the same as lemonade.
Yeah. It just looks cool. It's nice though.
Yeah, is there some these other flavours are so massive I'm finding it impossible to tell, but there might be like a tiny like floral something, but whatever the difference from normal lemonade is, just so subtle.
See, let me tell you something, yeah? You just did something so white.
Did I tell me it?
All my white friends, their palate is amazing. They'll be like, oh yes, I can taste coriander. And I'm just like,
maybe aren't white people just full of shit though? Because I'm like, there could be something in there. I'll confidently pretend there might be something in there. With all the confidence of a white middle class lady.
I love that. No. Your palates are amazing, man. I can never tell what's in anything.
But I don't know what it is.
But there's something.
Yeah. Either that now, they'll just be like, no, it's lemonade with food dye, you lying fuck.
Nah, don't.
Yeah. Oh, 5 second rule, yes or no?
5 second rule? Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, good.
Hell yeah.
Good. Nice to hear.
Listen, I'd drop something for a minute and still pick it up.
Good. If there was no other option, would you eat a person?
No, never. That is disgusting. Who the hell?
Be nice starving on an island.
Nah, I ain't eating nobody.
Would you say you've always had like a good, rosy, easy relationship with eating?
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's nice to hear.
Yeah. I've always had. I'm not one of those people that need to throw up. You know.
No. Stressed about.
I knew a girl like that, and it's not even funny.
No, it's not funny.
It was horrific, man.
Yeah.
Like she was bone.
Right.
Every time she would eat.
Yeah.
She just disappeared. You knew what she was doing.
Oh no. Yeah. It does feel like I've done this podcast for nearly 4 years. And I always still ask guys if they've always had a good relationship with eating, but it does feel like there's quite a clear gender divide on that. Like ultimately the majority of women in our generation will have had some complication at some point.
Yeah.
But guys generally have got away with that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But hopefully I think things are changing for the better.
Yeah.
what is the most futuristic thing you've ever eaten?
On our anniversary,
yeah,
they gave us this. So, went to this restaurant in a hotel, and they gave us this thing called coconut. Now,
what's it called?
Coconut.
Coconut, right.
Comes to your table. It looks like a coconut.
Okay.
It breaks like a coconut. It is not a coconut.
What?
So it's like chocolate, and then I don't know how they did this. Like cold coconut sorbet right in the middle.
Wow.
But there was like a biscuit layer and it was.
Where was this?
Pan Pacific Hotel.
Nice.
And it's one of the restaurants in there. Blew my mind.
Nice.
Blew my mind. And I've never had like your Michelin star restaurants. I've never gone to any of those things. So that was my first experience of like that food at that kind of quality.
Yeah. Amazing. Get in. Yeah. With stuff like that as well, like half the deliciousness of it is the theatre of it, isn't it? It's exactly that, like the surprise, and it's just so exciting.
Yeah.
There's a really good book, I think, called Eat It Up by a writer called Ruby Tando, and I'd never read anyone's or heard anyone talking about eating in that way before, where it's like, actually, if you include everything in eating, from not just the physical doing it, to like the idea of it, the excitement of it, the sight of it, that the surprise of it, mm-hmm. the first thought you have of it, right through, all the way through, an actual eating bit of it, it's such a short bit, it's pretty quick actually.
Very quick.
And then like, all the emotions or not around the feelings of fullness, how full, different types of fullness, sleepy fullness, happy fullness, like overdone it, stressed fullness, sweaty fullness, my mouth tingling now, that's going to last for a bit, I love it.
Yeah.
Like, right through to like going, oh, now I'm not full, now I'm ready, and oh, I think maybe something sweet, like, you know, like the experience is actually so epic. Yeah. There's so much.
That was our experience.
Yeah.
Because like, just, well, in terms of that, there was the other thing, my wife had a steak, and oh my God.
Yeah.
Went like, because I've always often heard, oh yeah, you know, steak's like butter, and I always try and cook it at home, never comes out that way.
Yeah.
This steak was like butter. And every time I took a bite, I was just like, oh my God, I was like losing my shit, like just going crazy. I was like, this is so damn nice. Now I understand what people mean. And so coming back to the dessert now, it never took me back to like my childhood or anything. I know some people do have those kind of experiences. But I was so shocked at how they were able to put this together.
Yeah.
Like every single taste was just, it just got better and better, and it got more refreshing as you got closer to the core.
Which is perfect, with the coconut, right? Because you're all getting fuller, you've had enough sweetness. It's so clever.
And it was just so nice. And then it was like the little elements of like, getting all giddy because of the biscuit bit.
So when
I'd cut it and I'm like, oh yeah, I got a biscuit bit, it was just like, Then I probably was behaving like a child then. It did bring me back.
Oh, I love it. And then if you take that journey even the way through, it's like, well, you will probably talk about that meal forever. Like, you're never forgetting that.
100%.
And what more could you ask from an anniversary now?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and the joke thing is, when we went back to the bedroom, we tried to order it again. For room service. Thinking we ordered the same thing, we got like a mousse.
Oh.
It was still nice though.
Yeah,
but
sure.
But we were like, oh, goodness. But that was a dope experience.
Sounds amazing. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Delicious. Carbon dioxide decides it's had enough and it goes on holiday. Obviously everyone's fucked because we can all breathe in but not out. So everyone's quickly turning into like massive hot air balloons, getting gianter and gianter. It's briefly funny actually to look at, but within minutes it's really bad apocalypse time. Everyone's bursting and dying everywhere. So luckily carbon dioxide has agreed to come back early and not quarantine and like just get straight back in our lives, but only if you, and weirdly it does have to be you, Bubba, take every single dog in Reading for a walk only four at a time, over and over again until they've all had a really nice walk, all whilst singing Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah again and again on a loop. It sounds impossible, but you do it. Mm-hmm. You're a hero. Your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams. Your reward is actually that you've gone down in history as the man who saved us all from bursting to death. But your reward in the moment is a feast of your dreams. It's the opposite of a last meal, in the sense that you're the happiest, and because of all that dog walking, the hungriest that you have ever been. So it's the anti-last meal. Also, in a last meal scenario, there's probably limits on what you can get your hands on because you're in prison, isn't it? So in this situation, it's a fantasy. Nothing is an option, and I don't care about consequences, ethics, I don't give a fuck about health. This is a dream situation.
Okay.
I should also, because I think you're into food like me, reassure you that we're all aware this is only your answer now, and if I asked you in half an hour, you could give a completely different answer if you want. I won't. I mean, I'll let you go home.
Like, what would I eat?
I want to know what you'd eat, and if you'd... I also would like to know what you'd drink, and if there's a who with and where you'd like to do this, you can do that too. And you can... Those people don't need to be possible either.
Okay, so... It'd be me, my wife,
yeah,
my best friend Chili.
Yeah.
We call him Chili. His name is Charles. my sister and my mum. And the meal would be...
I love it that you've chosen the people first. You know, in nearly 4 years, no one's ever done that.
Oh, is it?
No.
Oh. And my son as well. Yeah. We would have... Can I do start a main
yeah,
and...
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right, so...
It's your fantasy. Okay, there's no rules. You can go start a main, good for all I care.
For starters, it'd have to be calamari. Classic.
Great choice.
For drinks, it'd be... have you ever had Guinness Punch?
No.
Okay. It'd be Guinness Punch, which is like a Guinness milkshake.
Nice,
much more nicer than you believe. Yeah, so starter, calamari, Guinness Punch, and we would have lobster as main, lobster and chips.
What?
Lobster and McDonald's chips.
Oh, yes.
Cooks really,
imagine
really good.
Imagine that. Imagine lobster and McDonald's chips. Okay.
And then for dessert, it'd have to be that coconut dessert I had on my anniversary. Yes. That would be my fantasy meal. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Oh, it made me very happy. What a lovely answer.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for doing this podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, honestly.
Yum in my tum.
Oh, what a brilliant, lovely man. Follow Bubba Tunde on Twitter. He's at Bubba Tunde Comedy. And on Instagram, he is at Bubba Tunde Comedian. Although, as ever, links to both those things are in the podcast notes. And do follow him immediately, because he has got really big, exciting business to announce. So he's got something massive coming up at the end of the year. So if you're following him, you'll be the first to get that news. He was too profesh to even tell me what it was. You can come see me live if you like. I'm working up a new show in slow dribs and drabs throughout the autumn and winter. I'll be doing new material. I've got regular new material night called Honus Club in Camden on most Monday nights throughout October and November. Links to everything interesting that Bubba Tunde and I mentioned throughout the podcast are, as ever, in the podcast notes. You can support the podcast brilliantly by giving it a 5-star review, by telling someone else about it. Those are my favourite ways you can do it. Or you can give us money. We use Acast Supporter and also Patreon. There are links, again, to those things also in the podcast notes. I love it if you tweet me. We're at The Hoovering Pod. We're on Instagram as well. And me, personally as well, I'm on there at Jessica Foster Q. Anything longer than a tweet, or you want links to where to buy tickets to see me doing previews and new material and all other gigs, then all of that is doable via my website, jessicafosterq.com. Huge thanks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham, and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.